Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Randy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum, Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by the delightful Eliza Skinner, and we change your life for the better. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Man, I am back, Jordan.
In a big way?
In a major way.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're not just regular back.
No, and I'm not Lance Corporal back.
Okay.
I don't know the rankings. I don't know if that's a promotion or a demotion. I know that there are some men and women in service of our country who listen to our program. They can probably tell me if I had previously been back in a Lance Corporal way and now I'm back in a major way, whether that's a promotion or a demotion.
Yeah. I mean, Purple Heart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For being wounded in the line of duty.
Yeah.
Oh, you're referring to when Meryl Marco was mean to us.
Yeah, exactly. We get Purple Hearts for that, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do get Purple Hearts. Podcasting Purple Hearts. I think Apple gives those out.
Yeah.
We had previously gotten that from those webcomics guys, mm-hmm. and now Meryl Marco. So we're
double Purple Heart recipients.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to burn mine.
In protest?
Yeah, because I oppose the war in podcasting.
Oh, yeah. No, I think so, too. I also will burn mine.
I'm baffling myself.
Oh, can I just sell mine?
Comic metaphor.
Yeah.
You can just sell yours. Yes, Jordan.
In protest, though.
Sell it in protest?
Yeah. Like, I'll sell it and then, like, just use the money for blow. Like, I feel like that's the best way to say to the podcast infrastructure, hey, I don't appreciate your war profiteering.
Right. It is for you to use the money on cocaine?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get high with the money.
Yeah, to get, like, super fucked up.
It sounds like the protest that you're describing here, Jordan, is not so much a protest as an opportunity for you to get high on cocaine.
Yeah, but I'm going to, like, if anyone asks me why I'm so fucked up and where I got the money to get so fucked up,
right.
I'm gonna let them know about my strong opinions. And create a
but that,
dialogue.
You're just gonna,
see, it create, it's,
you're
it's
just
creating
gonna tell
an opportunity
people,
to create
you're just,
a dialogue.
You're just, number one, it's going to be a monologue because you're going to be so high on cocaine.
Sure.
Number two,
No, it'll be a dialogue because the devil's there. He lives in my brain.
Your opinions are going to be so strong because you're high on cocaine. You don't have strong opinions, Jordan. Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned in 10 years of working with you.
Yeah.
Is that you moderate all of your opinions.
Sure, I sit pretty squarely on the fence on all topics.
You like to have a preferred place to buy a $10 hamburger, $10, $12 hamburger in each city that you visit.
Sure.
So you could say that's a moderately strong opinion that you hold, but mm-hmm. that's the main strong opinion that you hold. I mean, certain continuities, certain mythic continuities or pop cultural continuities, yeah. you have some moderately strong opinions on.
Oh, which direct-to-DVD Futurama movie was the best?
Yeah, that's something.
The second one.
Shall we introduce...
But yeah, everything else I can take or leave, pretty much.
Let's introduce our guest. She's a successful writer, actress, stand-up comedian. She has her own stage show here in Los Angeles, Miss Eliza Skinner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, it's delightful to have you here, Eliza.
It's delightful to be here.
It's
a lovely place, that's all.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. She's you know what I call Eliza Skinner? The anti-Meryl Marco.
Oh, no, that doesn't say great things for my career.
No. Well, I mean, you're the anti-Meryl Marco in that you're being very polite. and also in that you didn't invent stupid pet tricks.
Oh, okay. All
that
right,
you didn't create contemporary late night comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I did not create the top 10 list.
Guys, can I just jump right in to some emotional trauma I see for myself in the future?
Yes.
This is... Okay, I feel like this is important.
We should get this out there. Before we recorded the last show that I was on, Jordan had been dating Meryl Marco.
Oh, wow. That makes it all so much more loaded.
Yeah. We broke up between the intro and the momentous occasions.
Oh,
yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
I've talked previously on the show about my mom's eHarmony boyfriend, Brad.
Yeah.
Right.
My mom's getting back out there, Eliza, for your benefit. She's also something that I think Brad is helping with is making her a little more tech savvy. She has an iPhone and she enjoys texting now. Mm-hmm. So the other day I was texting with my mom about, you know, potentially getting together for lunch, and then I get another text that says, have a great time. Looks like I picked the right guy. And then she sent me another text saying, whoops, that was for Brad. So now I exist in a world where my mom could accidentally sext me.
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Because she's obviously new to the technology.
Right.
Yeah.
And now every time my phone buzzes, this little shard of panic sticks into my brain, and I don't know what to do about it.
Has she figured out texting photos yet?
I have not been texted a photo.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're still kind of that. Okay, because that's really where it gets horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sexy phrases, that's one thing. You don't want.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could deal with a sexy phrase.
Yeah,
I think I could just delete that really quick and then, you know, laugh it off.
Jordan, let's talk about what you can and can't deal with.
Okay.
Sexy words.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I could deal, you know, can't wait to kiss ya.
Okay, that's a sexy phrase,
and I think my mom is a pretty demure lady, so that would be pretty ribald for her.
That's about as far as all sexting goes, right? I mean, that sounds pretty racy where I'm from.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw that on 2020.
Yeah.
Hugh Downs.
That's what the kids are doing.
I don't.
Hugh Downs sent me that text.
Oh my god.
After 2020.
Oh, that's not.
I do a lot
of
sexting with Hugh Downs.
I hate to break it to you guys, but sometimes.
Yeah. Huh?
Sometimes in sexts, people mention their wet pussies.
They're what?
I know. And
what?
For the benefit of the home listener, Liza is demonstrating some Tex Avery-style wild takes.
Yeah,
that
my eyeballs popped out and my hat flew off my head and spun around and then sat back down.
Jordan. Later, if a sexy dame walks in, your head will turn into a wolf's head.
Mm-hmm. And then my tongue will wag out and then unfurl and then go right back up.
Jordan, I hear you talking about this pussy business.
Yeah. just say wet pussy, Jesse.
I just don't think...
A slippery snatch. We can say that too, right?
yeah, that's fine.
Right. Well, I'm talking about the dirty stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Slippery snatch sounds like a Hanna-Barbera villain. Like someone who would be racing against Yogi Bear in some sort of race around the world.
Slippery snatch even.
you'll never catch the slippery snatch.
And he has a giant, like one of those black bombs with a wick that comes out of it.
But when he runs, his legs pinwheel and go like clankety, clankety, clankety,
yes,
clankety.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. The slippery snatch.
You'll never stick it to this every snatch. Jordan, there are some people who would sext something like about a wet pussy. There are some people who wouldn't. I think we can agree that there's some type of people who are like that and some people who aren't. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Brad is the kind of guy who would send that kind of text.
Oh, I'm not worried about getting sexed from Brad. I don't think he even has my phone number.
I just don't think Brad is that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Brad is a stand-up guy, Jordan. You don't have to worry about it.
Sure.
Am I misunderstanding the situation?
You are a little bit.
Okay.
Brad is a stand-up guy. Looks great in a Tommy Bahama shirt.
Sure.
But your mom's which is real dirty.
She's a lusty old gal. She's like Phyllis Diller.
Oh, okay. Right. So a lot of caftans and
fright wigs.
Yeah. Fright wigs. And
caftans and fright wigs. That's Jordan's mom.
And I
for
guess
you.
like
caftans, fright wigs, and wet pussy. Sorry, Jordan.
No, that's okay. This is a fictional version of my mom we're presenting, and I can hang on to that.
Okay.
In real life, we should explain that. In real life, Jordan's mom is one of the nicest ladies you could ever meet in your entire life, A. And B, she is actually a nurse, a lactation counselor at a hospital. This is how nice of a lady Jordan's
yes,
mom
a heart
is.
Filled with compassion and yeah. a little tinge of a Southern accent.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, you know, like in terms of what this could do to me if it happened, like I'm okay with where I am sexually. I feel like I can, you know, like I feel like I can manage.
Boy, you sell yourself.
I know, right, ladies. I'm at a real comfy place.
You're comfortable with your sexual power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my ability to destroy someone sexually.
Oh, this is better. That sounds better.
Like right now, I feel like I'm not, you know, like all of my sexual tastes are very, very manageable. I'm, you know, just happy to be having it at all. And like,
look, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. Goebbels are cheap.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's a lot of homeless ones anyways. But like, I feel like if something like this happened, it could tip me over into some sort of weird, like, cloistered asexual person, or like I
a
could
Paula
go full
Poundstone type.
A little Paula Poundstone.
Pretty soon you're going to be drunk at the ice cream place with your 14 children.
Exactly.
Or and your fancy blazer.
Or it could like push me over into like furry.
Right.
Or something. And then, man, I just don't know what I'll do.
Right.
I'm not crafty enough to cut a dick hole into a fox costume.
Do you know what the number one movie that inspires furries?
No.
Disney's Robin Hood.
Oh, I believe it. Now that you
apparently
say that.
That's like, tons of furries are like, that's what did it for me.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Well, because
sexy foxes.
Because mm-hmm. that fox lady is foxy.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Maid Marian.
Yeah, Maid Marian. Yeah, she's a sensual fox.
Yes, she is a fox.
Yeah.
A foxy fox.
Are there any other sexy animals in that? Because I remember the other ones, like, they look
not really.
The most
there's
human.
There's another lady chicken, but she's kind of heavy.
Yeah. So.
But I mean,
well, you know,
anytime.
So, hey. Yeah. You know.
Anytime you get a lady, like a lady chicken hybrid, though, I mean.
Yeah.
That lady.
She's got some nice breasts.
Yeah, it's sort of like.
Check out those drumsticks.
It's true.
Sure.
And they
just
have.
Just dunk her in some blue cheese.
Apparently there was a.
Nice breasts.
Really? She got good thighs also.
And,
there was a stuffed animal.
No, really, she has no crow's feet.
No, not yet. No.
Yeah, when she gets older.
There was a stuffed animal that they made of the raccoon from Pocahontas that was apparently
she's
very
inspired.
Really?
She's got quite a pecker, though.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the character from Pocahontas,
no,
but a particular stuffed animal.
A particular stuffed
that
animal.
People fuck?
I think
do they,
so.
Is,
the, I don't
is
know.
It like a puppet?
Does
is it,
come
it meant
with
to
a
be
fuckle?
A hand puppet? So it
no,
has
no,
a,
no. It was a stuffed animal.
Do you have to install a fuckle?
I think so. I think that's like a subset of furries where they
install
like,
fuckles.
Yeah, in stuffed animals. Otherwise,
right.
Like the
do
main
you,
group, it's.
Is it like a
suits.
Is that a DIY thing to make? Do you buy a fuckhole kit?
I don't think you like take it to a store and they're like, can you install a fuckhole for me?
Hey, well, I don't know.
I guess maybe there could
that
be like
be great,
there
though.
Could be like sympathetic tailors, uh-huh. And you just take it and you say, I'd like the Robin Hood special.
yeah,
I'd like the Maid Marian, please. And
I
then,
kind of feel like if there's anywhere that this happens, it's at the model shop. Who knows what's going yeah. Like at those model shops that still remain, they
sure.
Can't be sustained by people buying, you know, World War II airplane models mm-hmm. Or
there's
model
some
train
tabletop
pieces.
Gaming going on probably maybe Warhammer.
I think that the era of Warhammer has faded according to an article about the desperate bids to reinvigorate the world of tabletop Dungeons and Dragons that I read in the New York Times. Mm. So my guess is that sort of like how I always believed the Brazilian goods store on Mission's Art Valencia Street near my house was a drug front. I think that model stores are fuckhole installation fronts.
It's got to be fronts for something, right?
Yeah, yeah, like a hobby store. Else. Like, how many rocket kits can you really sell?
I will say, most of those hobby stores are also specialty game stores, and those games are expensive.
They are expensive
games.
When
you say specialty game,
we're talking about a Settlers. Monopoly. We're talking about, you start with Settlers of Catan, but then you get into expansion.
And then
packs.
You get more German from there.
You get more, like, really, yeah, even weirder. Until you have adult men playing games about, like, collecting fruit. And really taking it seriously.
Sure.
And women.
Absolutely.
Eine kleine fruit collecting.
That's Germany's most popular fruit collecting game.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of competition.
Sure. I mean,
there's Banana Gathering, for example.
Das ist mein Grape.
Yeah. That one's fun. That one's fun because it's Pop-O-Matic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
That's one of the. It's got a lot of strategy. I mean, it's in-depth strategy.
Like the timed ones,
but it has the element. That has the Pop-O-Matic element, which makes it fun for the whole family.
But the problem with Hitler Melon is that if you lose one of the pieces, you can't play any. And how do you? You got to buy a whole new set.
It's too much setup.
Exactly.
Too.
It's
you
like
spend 45
trap.
Minutes setting it up, and then yeah, 2 minutes
I,
playing.
Exactly. I had that problem. I lost Riefenstahl, and the whole thing was.
Yeah.
I was like,
you lost Lemon Riefenstahl.
Oh, my side hurts from the pun.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, magical horse enthusiast.
Really?
Oh, sure.
What's your favorite magical horse? I guess you got the big two. You got a unicorn, you got a Pegasus.
Sure, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant their specific names.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking
Firefly and Glory.
Oh, okay. Those are the two. Those are the big two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as far as breed, when we're talking breed, what would you say is your magical horse of choice?
Of those two?
I mean, those are just the two that came to the top of my head.
Whichever one grants wishes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like a Sparkle Pony,
mm-hmm.
which would be one of those two. They're both varieties, but with a lot of glitter and wish-granting abilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. It's clear that you've thought this out, and I appreciate that.
I have a question.
Okay.
Would you consider the ability to inspire young people around the globe... a magical power? Because if so, my favorite is probably Misty of Chincoteague.
I think so.
Thank
you. I think that's the greatest power.
Jordan,
it?
What's yours?
War horse.
Well, movie magic. Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That counts.
I would say War Horse's magical power is probably the ability to transform World War I into a story appropriate for children.
Yeah.
Or at all interesting to them.
The nightmares of trench warfare. Guys, it's 2012. I don't know if you guys have been...
Shit, my kid's still in the car.
I left the windows cracked.
Yeah,
he'll
be fine.
I don't know if you guys...
Since 2011.
I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the calendar. I've got this great calendar. Jordan, you won't be interested in this, but my wife likes to buy me a fun calendar every year, and we unveil each month.
They're a real
month.
Fun couple. They have a reputation.
Sounds like it.
We do. Around the neighborhood.
Like
people
a really
are
a fun couple.
Yeah, it's true.
People come by and are like, we want to see this year's calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And this, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. If people out there think like that me talking about this right now is me trying to brag about how rich I am or about my connections or about how I have the best calendars or the best taste. Anyway, Unlikely Animal Friends is my calendar this year.
The best.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Are you familiar with this calendar, Eliza?
I'm familiar with the concept.
Okay.
I'm big time into Animal Friends, especially the unlikely kind.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we've all got a pretty good handle on what year it is, 2012. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Wait, how unlikely are these animal friends?
Well,
do they like come from different climates? Is it like shark and polar bear?
No, I mean...
No, they're, it's political.
Those don't just come from... You understand...
It's a real leftist dog.
Right.
Jordan, you understand
that... A real messy dog and a real clean dog.
Mm-hmm.
A shark and a polar bear don't just come from different climates. Mm-hmm. They breathe different stuff.
Sure.
Like, they...
Well, underwater is a climate, right?
Yeah. You know, at the... I went to the San Diego Zoo last week, and they've got a cheetah and a dog that are best friends and live in the same enclosure.
Cute.
It is adorable.
What kind of dog is it?
It's just like this really cute, fluffy white dog. You know, kind of medium size.
How did that happen? Like, let's throw this dog in there, see what happens. Maybe they'll become friends.
Apparently, cheetahs bond well with dogs.
Really?
And sometimes
because
when
anything.
They don't want...
What kind of asshole doesn't bond well with a dog?
Sure. Yeah.
They got big eyes.
Exactly.
They just, all they want to do is be your friend. That's all they want in the world.
Yeah.
They just want a few food scraps.
And friend scraps.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, it's just a thing that's good to do. Like, I know they do that with elephants also. But
also with dogs?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they'll like, because elephants like to pair bond.
Oh,
and so
okay.
If they don't have another elephant or person, they'll
just get a dog in there.
Yeah.
Pair bond them up.
Mm-hmm. And, but the enclosure with the dog and the cheetah is great because the dog is one of the only animals in the whole zoo who actually looks at people. So the dog is like, hey, what's up? Hey, hi, to all the people coming by the cage. And the cheetah's behind him just like, I could eat you and I will. Give me the chance.
The cheetah's just like 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Try me, buddy. Try me.
The cheetah's like, my front legs and my back legs cross.
Can yours? No. Yeah. So that's great. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great pairings. It's only February. I'm not looking ahead.
Sure.
But
you're not some kind of calendar cheater.
Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't believe what will be friends with a baboon. Let me just leave it at that.
Is it daily or monthly?
It's monthly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right. Monthly. Well, right.
For his daily calendar, he has the quotable Dave Barry.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I don't even believe you, but it would be amazing. I bought like a bunch of Dave Barry books not too long ago, like a year or so ago, at a used bookstore because I was like, hey, America's greatest humorist.
Sure.
Come on, why discount
them? You're in the humor business.
Yeah. And tried to read them. They don't hold up.
Were they old or
they
just
were
not
old.
Good?
Okay. They were. I mean, maybe his current stuff is okay. I don't know. I don't want to slam Dave Barry.
We actually discussed this with Meryl Marco a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I've met Dave Barry, and he is a wonderful guy.
He was a guy. I loved him growing up. He was like, I was a huge Dave Barry fan.
And again, I mean, one of the things about Dave Barry is when you read Dave Barry, I think in a contemporary context, besides remembering that he wrote the columns 20, 25 years ago now, you should also probably remember that he was writing them as a 3 to 5 times a week columnist.
Yeah, it's insane how fast he had to write these things. Yeah.
Like, I hardly think of two funny things to talk about on Jordan Jesse Go in the context of a week.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't hold up.
Okay.
Bloom County does. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Calvin and Hobbes, I've heard that's good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You should probably... If you think
Farside's still funny.
Yeah, newspaper humor needs. They're still out there.
If you think Calvin and Hobbes is good, you should probably email me and let me know about that. Just if you're
out
there...
Can you get a lot of emails about that?
I don't know. Just
you should track down the reclusive Bill Watterson.
It's the kind of thing that people would email me about over and over and over because I just said...
Hey, you said Calvin and Hobbes.
Because I said Calvin and Hobbes, and now people will start emailing me about Calvin and Hobbes.
Wow, the internet.
That's how the internet works. Okay, so let's talk about 2012 a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I'm hoping you get some furry emails from that last conversation. You know, just try it. Just open your mind.
It's actually not model stores. It is
Christian
Science reading rooms.
I will get furry emails. They'll be about how it's not sexual.
Right.
Every time.
There are all kinds of different.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a very wide community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of them fuck.
Yes.
And the ones that aren't fucking. Here's the thing about the furries. We may have gone over this before, but I believe you that it's not about fucking in the sense that it's not a fetish for many, many furries. I believe that that is true. However, even if that is the case, it's still about fucking in the sense that, like, going to a Star Trek convention is about fucking.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to a place where you're gonna, where your odds are good that you're gonna find someone who's willing to fuck you.
Yeah, much better than in the act, the real yeah. outside world.
Yeah. Yeah, without being rude about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Oh, Eliza. Speaking of baiting and emails, Eliza, because of your nickname and strong opinions, you might have just attracted some bronies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Bronies being
bros, men who are into My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they yes, we
sexually?
Hard to say. I don't really get it, but I'm gonna say yes.
They like the positive messages of the show. Mm-hmm.
And the pretty hair.
As far as I can tell, from what I understand, it is a mix of things. There is an element of the weird thing that I don't understand where if it is a cartoon, nerds will watch it even if it's for children. They'll give it a lot of extra points for some reason.
Yeah.
And if it's good for a thing that is for children, they'll be like, hey, but it's good for a kid's thing. And you'll be like, but it's still for kids, though.
I think it's also if it has a large world attached to it.
Yeah.
Like if they're part of a whole community and world that they can get into the intricacies of.
But they really love the positive message. I mean, the great thing about the bronies is these guys have decided, they're nerds who have decided to nerd out about something, right? Like that's the sort of the baseline of this is that they're going to be nerds about something. And so they looked at the different stuff they could be nerds about, and they thought, well, it would be cool if
it's
we were...
this or Digimon.
Yeah.
No, that's taking all the passion out of it. That's so calculated a way to
do
it.
No, it's not a matter of calculation. It's a matter of powerful chemicals coursing through their bodies, driving them to...
Put all the Zelda games in order chronologically.
Collect and categorize things.
Yes, completionists.
Yes, so they're nerds by nature.
Right.
You know, I think some people are nerdier than others by nature. You know, my wife.
You're thinking
is,
of some people are naughtier by nature.
That's true.
Well, not because I hate
some. Some people are down with OPP. Some people are not.
Well, you know me.
Hip hop hooray for that one. My wife, for example, is perfectly happy to watch. I don't know what is a nerdy thing that I like to do. I like to watch Larry Sanders. Which is like a comedy nerd thing to do, right? And she's more than happy to watch Larry Sanders with me. Or like, here's a thing that I did for a while is watch Battlestar Galactica. I watched Battlestar Galactica until it started to annoy and enrage me. And I checked out. But for a while I was watching Battlestar Galactica. She was perfectly happy to watch Battlestar Galactica with me. But she does not nerd out about it. She thinks it's an interesting show and enjoys watching it just as she would enjoy watching, I don't know, Damages or something like that. Some other show that's a real B+, A-.
She can take or leave.
Yeah, exactly. And so she just doesn't have that. So you either have it or you don't have it.
So
these dudes are nerds, and they have a lot of... And they, very much to their credit, they decided we're all going to be a community together. And I think it started out with some guys, people who were friends from a message board. And they all decided that they were going to be fans of this. Apparently, the new My Little mm-hmm. Pony cartoon is relatively good.
Mm-hmm.
And they all decided that they love the positive messages of the new My and the fact that it's relatively good. And so they decided to be fans of that.
Huh.
And
I'm going to get into them.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to be a nerd about bronies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brownies.
Yeah. You should also be a nerd about brownies.
Those are
I am
people
a big time nerd
who
about brownies.
Love My Little Pony and scat porn.
Oh, brownies. Oh, geez. I thought it was going to have something to do with Girl Scouts or cookies or
no,
something.
No, yeah, it's shitting. Ugh. Sexual shitting.
Good
so
times.
2012 is the
right.
year.
Yeah.
And look, I personally have had a lot of challenges in 2012. I don't know how you guys have been having it thus far in the year, but, you know, I mean...
smooth sailing. Oh, it's smooth sailing for me.
You know, Jordan, yeah. you were unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a shit show for me.
Yeah, we should... I don't know if we've mentioned that you're working now. People keep sending me emails.
Yes,
you did mention on the show. Okay, so Jordan is working now, but Jordan was unemployed, and, you know, I've got a new baby, and I'm just...
He's unemployed. The baby... baby can't find a fucking job.
Yeah, the baby can't even get it together to fill out the fucking paperwork to get unemployment checks.
Jeez.
Apparently he wasn't paying into unemployment insurance, so it's a whole thing. Anyway, it's been very challenging, 2012. And when I was in Europe, working my fucking ass off.
That's a really hard transition to make. It's been really challenging when I was in Europe.
Okay. I should explain. I was in Europe working 14-hour days.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
Every day. So when I was in Europe and certain challenges went up, it's possible that a guest on this program went on a friend of ours' very popular podcast and talked shit about us. Something came into focus for me. And that is a theme for the year 2012. Now, you don't know this, but, you know, I like to have personal themes. I like to extend those themes to an organization that I'm the sort of de facto leader of called the Boner Society. I should explain, in case you don't know, the Boner Society has nothing to do, only metaphorical connections to the phallus. Mm-hmm. The Boner Society is really built around the theme of being all that you can be. Just as the boner is the apotheosis of the wiener, so the Boner Society seeks to reach for the stars in all of our endeavors. In fact, our slogan, Ad Astra, in Latin, reflects that. So I have in past, I've talked about, or you may remember, Jordan, when I turned 27, and I used the metaphor of a baseball player's age 27 season, when he tends to peak.
Okay.
Now, research suggests that while a baseball player's best season may come at age 27, with each passing year, while he may become somewhat slower, he will also become more powerful. So if a player has great skills, he can become stronger and stronger as the years go on, despite the fact that he's getting older. So he can grow wily, number one. He can grow wise, number two. And he can grow more powerful.
Like an ape.
Exactly. Which brings me to my theme for 2012 in the face of adversity. My theme is more powerful than ever.
Okay.
That's nice.
What about more ape-like than ever? I mean, you can just, you know, you can
more, like, more
learn to open a melon with your feet.
Sure, learn American Sign Language.
Absolutely.
Love
Get
a kitten.
A kitten.
Yeah, love a kitten.
Love a number of kittens.
Sure. Yeah. I am encouraging all of our Jordan Jesse Go fans to get on board with this theme, more powerful than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Just instead of acquiescing to whatever forces are arrayed against you, crush them. Crush them
as
like
an ape will crush a pomegranate.
I like
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, I think it's more ape-like.
Well, I mean, I think that's sort of the parenthetical.
Okay.
More powerful. More ape-like.
Okay.
So that can be, you know, your sort of talisman, your
yeah.
imagery for mm-hmm. it.
Sure. Well, I would love to see a graphic for More Powerful Than Ever 2012.
Like a silverback.
That features an ape going ape. More Powerful Than Ever, subheadline, going ape.
Yeah, that's great.
Going ape with an apostrophe. Mm. Because that's what we do when our enemies...
like Slippery Snatch. The devious Slippery Snatch.
Wait, so you're saying more powerful going grape.
Going like a grape ape. Yes. Who probably exists in the same universe as Slippery Snatch.
As the Slippery Snatch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Here's what I hope, Jordan. Mm. It just so happens that because we have a friend at a certain corporation based in Redmond, Washington, which I shan't say the name of, we happen to have an Xbox console device downstairs. And so
it was formerly a box?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Later, we've shaved off the corners.
Yes.
Okay.
It's now a dodecahedron.
All right.
And I would like to make this, theme for 2012 the subject of a creative project on the part of our community. And I'm just interested to see what folks can come up with on this theme of 2012, more powerful than ever. I'm talking about visual art. I'm talking about short films. I'm talking about songs.
An ape who can sign that. An ape who can... Teaching an ape to sign more powerful than ever, fine animal gorilla.
Absolutely. And this is...
Wait, he's going to sign the whole that whole phrase?
Yeah.
Okay.
February...
That's what Coco said about herself. She's called herself fine animal gorilla.
Have you... I'm sorry. I'll bring it back later.
February is the month to do this. Mm-hmm. I hope that people will share them both in our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you haven't already liked Jordan Jesse Go on Facebook, please do so. And in our forum at forum.maximumfun.org, please share these projects on the theme of more powerful than ever. We'll send an Xbox to someone. This is really true. We really do have an Xbox.
Wow.
That really was gifted to us by a certain unnamed corporation. I bet you can't figure out which one it was.
Mm-mm. I'm guessing Del Monte.
Yeah. They did send us some Del Monte fashion piece.
Sure.
I could not be more excited about this.
That's a fun project.
This is going to be tremendous. I mean, the apes that are going to be going ape in this thing. I'm seeing animations people are going to create. People are going to create short films.
Mm-hmm. Freestyle rapping.
Freestyle rap, written raps.
Sure, both.
People might even put a little effort into this thing. We got a rapper. We got a couple of rappers listening to this program. Are they nerdcore rappers? Yeah, kind of. Probably.
Well, they know how to download a podcast.
Yeah. 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 That's, absolutely.
That taps you in the realm of nerd.
Anyway, month of February is Make It Happen month for 2012, more powerful than ever. Sub headline, Going Ape.
Yay. I'm so excited to be a part of that.
And this is great, and I support it 100%. Are we to believe that there is a listener out there who doesn't already own an Xbox?
Well, you can...
But wants one.
Yeah, right.
Well, look, the Xbox is ancillary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people with multiple Xboxes. It seems like...
Sure. No, you could
like
probably find
coins.
A use.
Yeah, put it on your TV in your bedroom.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you don't want the Xbox, if you want us to donate to charity and send you a couple T-shirts instead, we're happy to do that.
Yeah.
And look, we'll probably send a couple of T-shirts to people who just send in something really cool. I know this isn't about the prizes.
Sure, you're
we
right.
have this cool prize because thank you very much to our friend who sent it to us. He found it in a storeroom. It was sort of left over at the end of the year in their promotional.
You're making it sound so much more special.
Look, Xboxes are great. I have an Xbox.
They're
it's
terrific.
Tremendous.
I think we both.
Yeah, me and
both,
Jordan both love our
love
Xboxes.
The product, for sure.
But, you know, it's a tremendous machine. We're happy to have it. I think this is a great way to use it up.
Yeah.
But I would be doing this whether or not we had the Xbox.
For the love of the game.
Absolutely. For the love of the game.
For the love of apes.
This is going to be, I mean, this is my best thing that I've thought of in years, this new theme. I'm so excited about this, not just because it's a great idea for, you know, stuff for the show or just because people are going to be putting cool stuff in the Facebook group, but because I think that this is really going to change people's lives. There's people out there who are facing challenges and they, you know, whether it's, you know, someone who is rude to them on their podcast, someone who was rude to them on their podcast and then went on Greg Fitzsimmons' podcast and was rude about their podcast, whether it's, you know, they're working too much and they miss their baby, whatever it is. I mean, granted, I'm not very empathetic. I have a hard time thinking of what other people's problems might be. But whatever it is, more powerful than ever is the theme that is going to play in their head as they destroy their enemies. As they crush their enemies like so many paper cups in their hands.
Like someone, like a fist cocked back.
Exactly.
in ready to strike.
Exactly.
So you're gaining the power.
Like a fucking crossbow.
Like a coiled rattlesnake.
Like you're fucking ratcheting back a crossbow.
Yeah. So it looks like you're getting small. It looks like you're getting away from your target. You're not.
No.
You're not.
You know what's in your fucking crosshairs? Your enemies. The fucking people standing between you and ultimate success is what's in your fucking crosshairs. And you are going to take them down.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take them out. More powerful than ever. 2012. Going ape. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, magical pony.
Do you guys mind if I go ape?
You're not
a
just
second?
An enthusiast
no,
anymore.
No, now I am a magic.
Oh, you've transformed.
Now everyone gets to imagine that.
You've emerged from your pupa.
Jordan, I've got great news.
Okay.
She just found out she's a real princess.
That's a callback, Eliza.
Okay.
To a very popular bit from the past.
4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
Do you guys mind if I go ape for a second?
Yeah, go ape.
There's something that has been weighing upon...
I'll just be over here going chimp.
I'm a pony.
There's something that's been weighing upon me for a while that I really needed a form to get out there, and I think that this podcast is going to be it.
Sure.
I am here today before you to stand up to people who stand up to hypocrites. I am sick and tired of people who are sick and tired of hypocrisy. I am here to support hypocrites and hypocrisy.
It sounds like you're speaking generally about something specific.
It
sounds like you had a bad run-in with an anti-hypocrisy advocate.
This is my slogan for the foreseeable future is going to be standing up to those who stand up to hypocrisy, because what is this? Freshman year, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Because, you know what?
Wait. What prompted this?
Yeah.
I think we need to know.
I don't know. Just, I'm not going to say Ron Paul. This isn't a political show. It's not Ron. It actually isn't Ron Paul. But it is the, it's totally not Ron Paul. I agree with Ron Paul on a fair number of things. But it is this, It's something
on not wanting to use the same bathroom as a gay man. You agree with them? That's your.
Well,
and
no.
Only,
I mean,
only
we're
having
both,
first names for all your names.
We're both
right.
We're both not racist, but we do hire racists to write our newsletters.
Sure.
Here's the thing.
But if like a gay is going to the bathroom, you'll in a place where you are, you'll go across the street,
so you don't catch it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's where it festers, toilet seats.
Well, you guys.
We're kidding.
No, I'm not a homophobe. I know that you can't catch AIDS from a... You can't catch gay from a toilet seat.
AIDS, on the other hand.
AIDS from
you
a toilet
AIDS.
Seat.
That's where.
Okay. I feel like when you call someone out on hypocrisy, what you should actually be calling them out on is some matter of actual merit. Like, the reality is that there is no one in the world who does not fail at making their practice match their rhetoric. If your practice does not match your rhetoric, then maybe your ambitions are not high enough. And if your practice does not match your rhetoric, and if your practice does match your rhetoric, maybe you're a fucking asshole. Like, maybe you're just an inflexible jerk who doesn't care what other people think about anything. I don't want to make this specifically a discussion of politics, because I don't think it really is just about politics. It's really, for me, more about the idea that I would much rather have someone have high ideals and compromise them when it's necessary than have low ideals, deliver on their low ideals, and then be lauded for being consistent.
I think part of what you're saying, which I can agree with, is the idea of like people having this attitude of, aha, I gotcha.
Yes.
I gotcha. You said this, but then this other thing, so I gotcha. It's like, well, wait. Do you have a problem with either sides of that? Yeah. Did you not like what I said or not like what I did? Or do you just enjoy the, haha, I gotcha, which that's such a time waster.
Because what is this? A seventh grade debate?
Yeah.
Like, we're not playing a game. The real life is not a game of, pointing out I gotchas. This is, you know, I mean, again, not to get into politics, but this is why, you know, a sort of like pointing and laughing debate performance, Newt Gingrich, is ultimately problematic. It's because the reality is that no matter what side of the aisle you're on, or no matter what your political values are, you know, compromise is a necessary part of anything, of any interaction with a human being, not just in terms of politics, but in terms of just being a person in the world. You have to compromise constantly. And that does not make you a less good person. It doesn't mean that you're any less of that you're striving any less to be good. And in fact, I think that it means that you're striving more to be good if you're
exploring different options.
And the question is, if all that you're willing to engage about someone is their fucking rhetoric, why don't you engage their actions? Why don't you say, you know, why don't you focus on whether they're good or bad rather than whether their words match their deeds?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that hypocrisy is something that people love to yell about because it's almost impossible to identify in yourself. So, like, everyone feels like they are the least hypocritical person in the world, but because they have recognized all of the compromising they've done. Like, they're like, oh, well, yes, I, you know, I said they shouldn't make a sequel to Planet of the Apes, but then I went to see the new one. But that's just because everyone said it was good, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's it's become just such a villainized thing that like something, an example like that, that sounds flexible. That sounds like,
sure, you know,
I allow for changing
maybe
my
it's,
mind.
Maybe it's pretty good.
Yeah. I allow for I'm open to other options and creative thinking and all of that stuff. Like, yeah, it's not good to hold other people to some sort of unfair standard that you don't hold yourself to, that kind of hypocrisy, but changing your mind. No, not a problem.
I just don't want the world to be more like fucking 13-year-olds.
It's like, well, it's like the people, it's like those jerks that you play board games with who are just jerks about the rules and like the nitpicky rules. Like, oh, wait a minute. I forgot to collect that card when I was on that spot. Sorry, you didn't do it. Really? Is that a fun way to play this game?
You're ruining Das ist mein Grape for everyone.
Exactly. Like, let's have a little flexibility and enjoy this game.
Sure. Whose grape is that, really?
Das ist mein Grape.
I mean, again, not to make this about politics, but yeah, it seems like the person who's getting this a lot, well, I guess, I mean, he's giving it probably more than anybody, but he's also getting it a lot. It's like Newt Gingrich. It's like people are saying like, well, Newt Gingrich doesn't want women to have abortions, but he's been married 3 times, you know, like saying that is somehow related.
But to be fair, I think people who give that a lot get it a lot.
Sure. Absolutely.
Like,
yeah. No,
well,
I think as
you're
much
being
as
hypocritical,
right.
People are like, well, so are you. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes
from. But yeah, but I think people, everything goes back to Newt Gingrich cheats on wives. So therefore, how dare he say anything at all?
Look, I think even most people who voted for Newt Gingrich think the man is a twat.
Sure. He's clearly a bad human being. I don't think even his most, you know, fiery supporter would say that the man is not a horrible human being.
I think most of the people who voted for him were like, well, I agree with his politics and he seems really bright.
Sure.
Like that, and then they're like, and I mean
a jerk. He's a got good, a good jerk. He's but got a lot smart.
Of, not a weird Mormon.
He's yeah. got a lot of moral and emotional failings, certainly, but
sure.
that's not that important when you're president. Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of the argument on behalf of Newt Gingrich, if I might put myself in that position. But
sure.
but I just think that there is this general quality of someone who gets in an argument and wants to have it as though they were a 13-year-old boy who just discovered having a debate. Mm-hmm. And that is, they want to engage on semantic grounds rather than on grounds of what actually matters in the real world. And I think that that is much easier because it frees you of the responsibility to make genuine judgments about actual things. And I think it's bullshit. That's what I have to say about that. I mean, I think that...
did this? I can't help but think this came up because of something very
yeah, I
specific.
I feel like something really bad happened like,
no,
at the
this
grocery
is,
store.
Just, I feel like there's that This American Life where they interview the militia guys who take it upon themselves to catch illegal immigrants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, you find out that one of them
was like
dumped
yeah.
by an illegal immigrant. I feel like, Jesse, what's your illegal immigrant heartbreak story?
I don't know. I mean, I was listening to our friend Julie Klausner's great podcast, How Was Your Week, recently. And she did an interview with David Cross. And she asked him a great question, which was, what are you not angry about anymore that you used to be angry about? And David Cross's answer, which was equally great, was, I don't know, pretty much everything. which, I mean, you can understand because David Cross is, I guess, he was about 45 now, I guess.
Sure.
Let's just see, he's got a legacy of being angry about different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe being upset about things when he could be utilizing his comic genius to make brilliant jokes instead of just yelling about something. He utilizes comic genius a more than fair amount. Where
sure, sure.
I don't feel
he's
like
known
we,
to be a comedian.
Yes, absolutely, a brilliant, brilliant man. But as he was talking about, he started talking about Gawker. He was talking about how, you know, the most artful takedown of, I mean, this is, it's a very obvious point, but the most artful takedown of how stupid the people on Jersey Shore are is still the reason that Jersey Shore is on television and that they get paid millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so his all he sort of was able to come to as an adult was to A, no longer be enraged that they get paid millions of dollars, because what are you going to do? There's always going to be talentless people who get paid a lot of money just because they were in the right place at the right time and someone exploited them in the proper way. And B, to just try and get to a place where he could disengage from that kind of bullshit. And I think that this is exactly that kind of bullshit that you just really have to... You really have to stand apart from and think about, what do you actually want to spend your time and energy on?
Well, yeah, that's a thing that I have a real problem with. And it also kind of makes me feel old, that I feel like a lot of younger people love watching and consuming stuff that they hate. They're like, can you believe how terrible this is? I'm like, why not consume something that someone put a lot of effort into and perfected and made good? Why not appreciate something that is done well instead of like, can you believe what a shit show this is? Like, no, I can't. It's really, really bad. Why are we watching it?
Sometimes I think of there's this scene in Larry Sanders where Larry has to do live commercials on the show, and he doesn't know how to shill for something he doesn't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And because he doesn't really believe in anything, and he asks Hank, his sidekick, how to played by Jeffrey Tambor, how to do it, and Hank says, well, you just think about something you really believe in. And Larry asks him what he thinks of, and Hank says, I just think of America, all she stands for.
Yeah,
you gotta believe in something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
post-irony era.
I mean, I'm not, and here's the other thing. Like, I am not against, I'm not against being opposed to things either. You know, I would rather that people spend their time and energy being opposed to things that are consequential in consequential ways, rather than just bickering about rhetoric. And also that people engage things in a way that's humane. I mean, I feel like the essential problem with the hypocrisy argument is that it inhumanizes, it dehumanizes your opponent. It turns them into a sort of set of logic flashcards, so that you can say, well, if A doesn't equal B, then B is wrong, rather than emotionally engaging them as a human being who might have a different opinion than you about something, or who might be doing something wrong or whatever. And that is a really, I mean, that's just gross to me. It's a cop-out.
It's really about trust, though, right? I mean, it's can we trust this person? It's trying to debunk whether or not they are trustworthy.
But you know what? But I feel like when you hear this kind of thing, I would almost say that someone who makes the hypocrite argument doesn't really care about it themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. They are just trying to take the person down. Like the guy who's going to vote for Newt Gingrich is going to vote for Newt Gingrich, and it's just looking for every reason in the world to tell everyone else to vote for Newt Gingrich. And just an easy thing to do is to say, like, well, Barack Obama said he would, you know, get rid of Guantanamo, and then he didn't. What a hypocrite. Like, this guy doesn't care about that. Like, he just is looking for something to yell about so everyone else votes for Newt Gingrich, you know? So I feel like when I do hear that, like, when people scream hypocrisy at something, that's just the first thing they thought of.
Well, and
fighting, it's like you smell, you know?
And fighting hypocrisy is also such a easy cop-out to be able to hold on to terrible ideas and actions.
Sure.
Like, well, it would be hypocritical to change it now.
Sure, yeah.
We got to keep doing that. Can't admit that maybe this was not a great idea in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that every human being except for only the most insane thinks that compromise is a good thing. But, you know, I think when you're in that situation where you've already decided to hate something, you can just call compromise hypocrisy, you know, and then
because hypocrisy is a bad word.
Sure, exactly. It's really big. And it has that hard C sound, mm-hmm. which is threatening.
Yeah, it's got some Latin roots.
Sure.
Here's the good news, guys. I'm more powerful than ever.
Yay!
So we have almost certainly stamped out this problem.
Yeah, I mean, it,
just
between
17
the time,
minutes of
between
podcasting.
Between the time we started talking about it and now, it's now no longer an issue.
Mm-hmm. We've destroyed our enemies like so many paper cups in our hands.
Do you think that maybe you should get some ape sound effects for when you do this to an issue, and you can just play that and really, really go ape on the issue?
Maybe we should just clip out the part from Rise of the Planet of the Apes where he finally says no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that says
we
it all.
We can't put any parts from Rise of the Planet of the Apes because it'll make me sad.
Okay.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes is really sad if you're a dad. It's about how sons abandoning their dads.
It'll never happen. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens.
I'm trying to reassure you.
No, but you're just lying to me.
He'll look at you and say no, and then the world will contract a disease and apes will become our masters.
I never should have had an ape baby.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that was the situation.
You didn't know I have an ape baby?
No. The pictures appeared to be a human child.
They shave him daily because they're ashamed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we wax him down there.
Oh, dear. That doesn't sound pleasant.
Oh, yeah, come on. What is this, the 70s? Come on. Get rid of that pubic bush, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh, pubic bush baby. That could be Slippery Snatch's pet.
Oh, man.
Jordan, I've never just repeated someone else's joke on this program, but Sarah Thayer made a tweet that...
You did that whole line of... You did that whole chunk of dialogue from Larry Sanders.
Yeah, that's true, I did. Sarah Thayer made this tweet. Our friend Sarah Thayer, past guest on this program.
She's great.
Made a tweet that made me laugh, that is still making me laugh 3 weeks later. She said, I don't care if it's not feminist to get a Brazilian. I love it. It makes my vagina look huge.
It's true, too.
Do women get self-conscious about the size of their vagina?
Yeah, I mean, next to the bush. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You're like, so, how much of this is hair and how much of this is
exactly
vagina?
Yeah, yeah. So in comparison, looks much better.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, regular pony.
Oh, you've been demoted. This has been a real journey for you,
well,
this show.
That might be a promotion. We're going to have to ask our listeners in uniform.
Oh, yeah. Is being regular better than being magical?
Yeah.
I guess there's like the Spider-Man argument, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Are you freer to just, you know...
I can just live my life.
Prance about.
Exactly.
Have some oats.
Oh, yeah. I still prance.
No, I didn't mean to imply that you weren't prancing.
She could still inspire people like Misty of Chincoteague.
Exactly. Yeah. Inspirational pony. How's
and you can still kill the Kaiser like Warhorse.
I don't think that's what the Warhorse
did. Did Warhorse personally kill the
Kaiser? He did. Stomped like, him to death.
Little wow. Shaky hoof holding a gun. This is where it ends.
And just before Warhorse shoots, the Kaiser says, "Now you are just like me." And the Warhorse learns that.
And the Warhorse says, "No, no."
Exactly. And then he spares the Kaiser.
Right before he shoots, the Kaiser says, "Hello, Warhorse. Vise a long face."
And then that's the credits, because it can't get better than that.
So when something happens to our listeners that they consider to be momentous, we ask them to give us a call for a segment we call Momentous Occasions. And boy, have they given us telephone calls, Jordan. Our faithful intern, Joe, has screened them for us, and I'm about to play them for everyone to hear. How's that for a setup?
Yeah, I mean, that very clearly lays out the premise of this.
I mean, understand.
It was close. I would say it was close to incoherency, but it was not quite incoherent.
It was a little rambly, wouldn't make a good elevator pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that not quite incoherent is pretty much the standard that we shoot for on Jordan Jesse Go on a day-to-day basis, or week-to-week basis, I should say. I mean, that fit the standard of not quite incoherent, so there you go.
It wasn't quite incoherent, so yeah.
Hi, Jesse, Jordan, and possible guest. I am calling with a momentous occasion. On this past weekend, I went into a pet store to buy cat food. Yes, I'm one of those guys. And...
Oh, you feed your cats.
One of those guys.
On the way towards the front, I saw a father and a daughter whispering and giggling. So I get up front. There's a line. I get in line behind a woman with a cart. And then I hear that little girl's giggling getting louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden I hear the little girl scream, "Mom, look!" And the little girl is doing this maniacal little jig jumping around with one of those stitch collars around her neck. The dog satellite dishes that prevents them from getting at their stitches. And I'm biting the inside of my lip, trying not to laugh out loud because I could see the mom has the stern face on. But then I bust out laughing like a lunatic when... The mother cocks back her head, looks for her husband, and then yells out loud, "Steve! Again?" Thank you.
Way to go.
Dads are the best kind of family member. Dads are the best kind of family member. They're even better than uncles because they're there all the time.
I love that's this girl's, like, standard joke now. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think when you're a little kid and you like discover that something is funny,
you're gonna do it all the time.
Yeah, your instinct is to repeat it.
My poor dog Coco had to have a surgery because she got something in her paw and it ended up getting infected, and she had to wear one of those collars, and it was not the clear plastic kind. It was like a softer kind made out of sort of nylon fabric, and it was marked on our bill as Elizabethan collar.
Oh, I wish it had been.
Which is nice.
The ruffles and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because it's good for surgeries, and then also if we ever go to the Ren Fair, we've got something to, you know.
Or have to meet the queen.
Yeah, exactly.
It should come with little opera glasses, too.
We are most amused.
Hi, this Jordan and Jesse. This is Maggie Galinas from Indianapolis, and I am calling with a momentous occasion. So I was driving to work, and I was stuck at a particularly long traffic light that is still kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I look across the road, and I see these two squirrels jumping around doing acrobatics. And so, of course, I assume that they're in a tiny squirrel fight. And I start thinking about all the things that squirrels could fight about. For example, one of them, since it's winter, one of them stole the other one's acorns, and now they don't have enough food to get them through. Then I started imagining Chip and Dale, and if they ever got in fights, and I couldn't really remember because I've really only ever seen three Chip and Dale cartoons.
It was a contentious relationship, famously contentious.
Because that's what I had on my VHS when I was a child, but I watched it many times. And then I stopped thinking about tiny squirrel fights, and I look over back at the squirrels, and they are no longer doing acrobatics. One is on top of the other, and they are writhing around, and they are having squirrel sex, and I feel as if my innocence has just been destroyed.
It's called squawking.
That is just like Chip and Dale, except they were chipmunks and not squirrels.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all sexual tension.
Oh, God, yeah, it was boiling.
That rescue ranger was all about...
rescuing... their genitals from their pants.
Yeah, get them out of there.
Sure.
It's on fire.
That Gidget or whatever her name was, she's like, God damn it.
There's no way to break into this.
There's three. She says, there are three talking chipmunks, and two of them are dudes. I'm a lady, and the dudes are homos.
Oh, big time.
That's what she's saying to herself. God damn it.
Yeah.
All the good ones are gay, right? Right, girlfriend?
It's true.
I mean, it's rude. It's rude of her. I don't think it was... I thought it was rude of her to call them homos. It's not a nice thing to say.
Well, but it was a different era,
And also...
It wasn't understood to be...
I mean, given the context... The Disney Afternoon was famously homophobic.
Yeah.
That's true.
There were a lot of secret messages in there. I thought that in the call, she was going to say that when she looked back, they were wearing tiny boxing gloves.
Oh, that would
really
be cute.
I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
no.
That does seem more plausible. Yeah, I can understand how you would assume that that's what would actually happen. We also ask people to call in when something particularly shameful happens to them for our segment Moments of Shame.
Hey, Jordan and guests. I know Jesse's out on vacation, so I guess I won't say hi to him. I have a moment.
I came back from vacation.
Nope, vacation is permanent.
And number one, I wasn't on vacation. I was working. Number two, I'm back from vacation from work. I'm back from working in Europe to entertain and inform the people of the world on the subject of menswear. I hate this guy already. I hate this guy. I've got this guy in my fucking crosshairs, and I'm ratcheting back the crossbow.
No, you're going to go ape.
Mentification or possibly a moment of shame. I guess that's for you to decide. I had bought Fallout New Vegas as a on a Steam sale this past month, and so I decided I wanted to play it. And so Saturday, what I did was I moved my computer and my computer monitor into my bedroom instead of...
Wait, do you know what he just said?
No.
Yes, Fallout is a game from the same company that brought you Skyrim. It's a post-apocalyptic version Eliza, is any of this helping you out?
First-person shooter kind of thing?
Yeah, it's more of an RPG, but it has first-person perspective.
All right.
Wait.
I think I've seen it.
Fallout is like Skyrim?
Yeah, but it's set in a kind of a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Oh, and you go around, do you have to collect flowers?
Do not know. I'm sure there's a fair amount of collecting. It seems to be one of the things of these games.
Is that the one that's in, like, post-apocalyptic DC area?
Yes, and New Vegas is the add-on where you go to a post-apocalyptic Vegas.
All right, yeah, I've seen that.
All right.
What about lavender?
That's
a flower, but you could also probably call it an herb.
Well, I think that I would guess that because the apocalypse has happened, there's not a lot of vegetation. I think that these are kind of barren wastelands.
How do you do alchemy?
Well, I think you'd probably do a little more
What if
more
you
like...
want to make potions or poisons?
I don't think that's part of the... post-apocalyptic.
I think you maybe collecting more like gears and nuts and bolts to kind of make weapons and things like that.
Oh, like mecha weapons.
Yeah.
However you need to say it.
Yeah. Oh, like Dwemer weapons.
Well,
the ancient Dwemer.
Sure. Like the Dwemer.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Up so that I could do it in bed, and then I didn't get up the entire day from my bed. Except one time to get a six-pack of beer and put it next to my bed so that I could drink beer while I played. And then another time I got up because the pizza delivery guy showed up and gave me my pizza. Those were the only two times I got up out of bed and stopped playing. And then I played until 4 in the morning. So I don't know if that's sad or cool. Your decision. Bye.
You really don't know. You're not sure.
Yeah, boy.
I can't tell if these bed sores are a good thing or a bad thing, but I got them now, so you tell me.
I got these bumps on my dick.
Yeah, listen,
you to decide. It's for you to call.
I would be a dirty hypocrite if I criticized someone for playing video games. But yes, let's all just own up to the fact that it's a little bit sad. Hey,
our friends on the wonderful podcast, my brother and me, are Max Fun Pals, are professional video game journalists. Two out of the three of them are, and a lot of their fans are come to them from that world. So they will often get questions from a video game enthusiast perspective, which I think is absolutely tremendous. I mean, A+ for that. The question that most amused and delighted me, it's an advice show for the modern era. Wonderful, hilarious program. Any Jordan Jesse Go fan that hasn't at least given it a listen, just give it a listen. It's a great, great show. This guy, I can't even believe this was real, but it was such a sweet email. It really was real. He emailed in to say this was his dilemma that he needed advice on. He had this serious girlfriend. She lived in another town, and she was moving into his town. And he thought that was really great because he really loved her. But the problem was he had a really good routine set. He went to work at 8. He came home at 6, went to Taekwondo, got home from Taekwondo at 7 or 8, and then played video games till midnight. And he was worried that his girlfriend was going to eat into his video game time.
I'm worried that this whole growing up thing is going to affect my life the way I live it. I'm not sure.
I have to do all that fucking. Yeah. That can take upwards of an hour from start to finish.
The best part was, to me, was the Taekwondo part. He goes to Taekwondo for an hour, and the man has discipline. You got to hand it to him.
Yeah, he's also got Asperger's.
But he's got ass-kicking ability as well.
Do you think that's like in the Taekwondo teacher's book of ethics? Like maybe if someone has Asperger's and they don't understand, you know, they have a hard time with like social cues, do they need to... Is it responsible to teach them how to kill with their hands?
Sure. They still have to defend themselves and they learn. So it's not that they don't understand them, it's that they have to learn them.
Once they get themselves into trouble from misreading social cues, they may find themselves in a situation
exactly
where they need to kick some serious ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. It's probably more useful than it is than it is detrimental.
I was briefly considering taking up a martial art. I was thinking about one of the martial arts with less kicking in the face.
One of the dancing ones?
Well, no, I wasn't ready to go full capoeira. But I was thinking, you know, there's a Japanese martial art that's very pushing based, mostly pushing based. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do this thing, you know?
I every few months decide that I should get into some sort of martial art. I never have, though.
Yeah, so I really need something to get me out of the house.
Have you gone as far as to buy the nunchucks?
I've gone as far as to buy the Martial Arts for Dummies book.
Oh, okay. So, can you use that? Is it heavy? Can you strike with it? How do you throw it?
I think it's propping up a stack of other books at this point.
Okay, sure.
So.
Have you attended a ladies' self-defense class?
No, but I got invited to one. There was a lady comedian's one.
Really?
Yeah, a female comedian organized this whole
lady comedian. Is this something you do in between astrology retreats?
Yeah, there was one of those, too.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Yeah.
The male comedy world does not organize in this way. I'm always surprised to hear the kind of solidarity and activity focusedness.
One time,
do you know how many book clubs there are?
I bet there's a ton.
I personally have been invited to 3 different lady comedy book clubs.
Wow. One time Paul Scheer came over and he and Rob Hubel and Michael Cera and a couple of other people had just gone to a Weird Al concert.
Oh, okay.
That's
fun. Yeah.
So they probably have a Weird Al concert going to club.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that exists in other worlds that aren't comedy, that the ladies in a business will all get together and do a thing?
I think so. And especially once people have started getting married. And so they're like, well, okay, what do I do for socializing? I'm not going out and meeting guys. We do our couple things. And then, well, I only have a small amount of time left over from all of that. And that's only left for
ladies. So it's
got to
be highly organized.
Really organized.
Sure.
Exactly. Okay. I got to do all of them at once. And let's prepare for it by reading an entire book.
Sure. Let's prepare for it with the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
It's probably not the Hunger Games, right? That's probably not what you're reading in these. No. Something more high-minded.
My wife took a ladies' self-defense class some years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the whole nine yards. I mean, if you've seen the King of the Hill episode where Bobby Hill yells, "That's not your purse," then you know what she did. And then she was living in communist Cuba. And guy was in an alley hitting on her and then started trying to grope her. And she was telling him not to and he was ignoring her. She fucking kicked his ass.
Yeah.
She fucking left him in a crumpled heap on the ground.
Good.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. My wife is the most mild-mannered person I've ever known in my entire life. Fucking
but
left him in a crumpled heap on the ground.
When she's pushed, she can go ape.
She can fucking go ape. More powerful than ever.
Mm-hmm.
My wife grew a human inside of her and then took it outside of her using the force of her muscles.
It's pretty powerful.
Unbelievable. Anyway,
well, one more question about female female comedian stand-up.
I am an expert.
Or female comedy self-defense class.
Okay.
Do you think that you would have a hard time taking down Paula Poundstone? Like, I imagine she's coming to this, right? Is she the one you're most afraid of?
She's got those linebacker shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. We don't
fight
each other.
That may be some sort of costume trick.
You think that she's not built like that underneath the
She probably the is. Yeah.
Yeah, you fight the guy in all the padding.
Oh.
You know, we've got a sisterhood.
Okay, so you're not scrapping with Joy Behar.
No, no, no.
All right.
No. Yeah. Elaine Boozler? No, no.
Yeah, well, you know, when fucking Boozler goes off on the racial tirade, she's got to sock her in the mouth.
Yeah. I looked on the internet at the listing for this place that's near my house that teaches this pushing-based Japanese martial art.
I hope that's the only name for it, pushing-based Japanese martial art.
And it said, and I don't know what I was picturing. I mean, I'm willing to do what people tell me to do. I'm pretty good. And I was willing to exercise. I didn't want to do something where I have to do a lot of push-ups. You know, that was sort of like, I was willing to be disciplined and thoughtful, but I didn't want to do a lot of push-ups. I didn't want to get hit in the face a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to get thrown around a little bit.
So you were looking for like the video game where you get to.
No, I mean, I was willing to get thrown around a little bit, and but I just didn't want to get kicked in the face.
All right, the moneymaker.
That doesn't yet. Yeah, look, this is where the bucks come from, yeah, sister. Sure.
It's insured by Lloyd's of London.
Oh, I understand.
I'm famous. A male prostitute without
what?
This.
What? I didn't think you were going there.
Sorry, I didn't.
Was that the project that you were working on?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Now I understand the whole Europe
prostitution.
Thing.
Yeah. No, I go to Europe.
He was the personal Milan. Guest of the Sheik.
Wow.
He was on the Sheik's yacht.
Yeah.
While they were just, you know.
I suck Sheik dick for a living. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, usually you die before you get let go.
At the point of orgasm. Usually they slit your throat at the point of orgasm.
Right, yes.
That's how Sheiks do it. I read the Yelp reviews. I'm like, how do you figure out what's a good martial arts place? I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess I'll go on Yelp. You know, it was either that or Angie's List.
Oh, sure. No, yeah.
So I went on Yelp and it said, you know, if you're looking for a traditional martial arts disciplined environment, and I thought about it for a minute and I thought, no, that actually sounds terrible.
Looking for like a fusion type environment.
Yeah, looking for, I don't know, like something with an element of Brazilian dance.
I think maybe capoeira is.
I think
really...
the problem yeah, is right? the only here's the only problem is that the choices are either going to be getting punched in the face. Mm-hmm. There's going to like it'll either be dancing, mm-hmm. something dancing based, which is for girls and not me. Or for wiry dudes that have a lot of sex with the girls that are in their classes.
Oh, like the real weirdo, like
you know the yeah. Or just like
someone who's a little Anthony Kiedis-esque.
Yeah,
I guess maybe that
exactly. A lot of sage. That's a perfect.
There's a lot of burning sage in those places.
Yeah, precisely. So that's
a really
not...
like he wears clothes to highlight his pronounced pubic bone.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
really that shirt is never quite
yeah.
long enough.
Mm-hmm. Totally drawstring pants that are
sure.
sagging.
Pants
in the
are a little
front.
Low. Shorts a little. Shirt's a little short.
Yeah.
And looking good.
So that I'm not down for. And then another choice is a place where the focus is on killing people. I don't want to participate in that. That's the one where you get hit in the face a lot. And also, I just don't have any strong desire to kill people. Like, I'm competitive, but I'm not especially physically competitive. I don't want to be a killing people guy. And so this pushing martial art, I thought that's the hot setup. But then I remembered, like, I want to do, like, you know what I should probably do? I should probably do, like, kendo. That's the one with swords. The wooden swords.
I think in a few months to a year, maybe some sort of a baby in me martial arts class.
Put the baby in a Bjorn.
Yeah.
And then you punch the other dads in their babies.
Well, yeah, you just kind of do like some Tai Chi kind of stuff and rolling around good. And then put them in cute outfits.
My dad did Tai Chi. My dad did Tai Chi in his 50s and he entered some local push hands tournaments and I was very proud of him.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Wait, is that when they actually do like
it's sort of like grappling. Like you have to put your hands palm together and then you like push your chi through each other and then knock each other out. But
you learned how to be a gay prostitute. Yeah,
the boss of his Tai Chi joint rolled through one time and they had a big open house. You know, he came from China and did some magic tricks. And I don't know, like it was a real bummer because he did all this chi stuff. And, like, he did do some, like, he, like, broke some stuff in half with, like, his finger or, like, a dollar bill or something. And, like, that was kind of neat. But then I was just like, yeah, but, I mean, that's just, like, you know.
Anyone can do that.
Cylinders
show me
something
good.
Well, I just want to see some magic powers, you know. And then he's like, now we're gonna show some magic powers. And I was like, awesome. And he's like, I'm going to focus my chi and make the room warm. And I'm like, okay. I mean, that's. Like, I'd rather see somebody fly or something, but it's fine. We'll make the room warm. He's like, everybody close your eyes. I'm going to focus my chi and warm up the room. Fucking, the room was exactly the same. Exactly the same. And nobody was like, hey, old Chinese guy.
The emperor's naked.
I hate to tell you, but...
Why do you think it's the matter of the old Chinese guy could fucking kick your ass?
He totally could.
I mean, whether or not he could make the room warm, I think that if you, you know... If you called him out on that, you had a
seriously.
Know,
he could kick your ass,
punch you like a dollar bill
in slow motion. You could be fighting in fast motion. he could kick her ass in slow motion.
I think this is the class that you need to take.
Slow motion fight?
Tai Chi.
What about the one where I fucking warm up the room using my chi powers?
Well, maybe if you take the class, then you can feel it. Maybe you didn't have an open mind.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I went to, in my weird private middle school, there was a Tai Chi class.
Really?
And the Tai Chi teacher was, he was also did Wushu, which is like the sort of fat, it's a lot like Tai Chi. Tai Chi is derived from Wushu or vice versa. But Wushu is fast and it's sort of like a performance form mostly. It's what, it's the...
It's for picking up chicks.
Yeah, it's what a lot of the Hong Kong...
Sure, you rappel off the wall and then you tell a woman that she's got spinach in her teeth.
Oh, yeah, that really hooks them.
And then you bone down.
It's what a lot of like the Hong Kong action star guys do.
It's real showy.
Yeah, it's super... I mean, it is. It's a show. Like, it's an extravaganza. It's designed for performance. And he could do fucking insane, crazy shit. Like, once every 4 or 5 months, he would do two things. First, he would like bring in a couple of his students from his wushu class, and they would do a little wushu demonstration that was in fucking sane, just insane. Like, they'd be doing flips with knives and just throwing things at each other, and it was just insane. And the other thing is, he would just have people attack him, and he would just use his chi power fucking shit to deflect them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, granted, we were 13 years old. But these people, like the biggest kid in the class, could attack our Tai Chi master. And he would just stand there and he would like have his hand in front of him. And he would just sort of flick his wrist or something. Like as though he was going like Jeeves, bring me a Manhattan. And the kid would just go. Just
explode.
Yeah. Just blonk, blonk, blonk. Like, I want to learn how to do the martial art where I don't want to learn how to punch people in the face.
It sounds like this is the martial art you want to learn.
But the idea of like someone attacking you and then you didn't do anything, but for some reason they're on the ground, that is really appealing to me.
Do that.
I know, but
you wouldn't get hit in the face. You wouldn't murder anybody. I would get good chi powers, but not in a girly way. And yeah, serious chi powers. I think you've got your answer, man.
Should I get some chi powers, Jordan? I think it would be one problem is that I would have too many chi powers. It would overwhelm Jordan. It would be out of balance.
So then
Jordan would have to do it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all just like, stop jacking off.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan and Jesse Go. La, 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 la. Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, magical pony.
Oh, you're tremendous.
You're
Eliza
back
Skinner.
To being magical.
Look, what do we got here? We got some fucking sponsors. Number one, makepixelart.com. That is not a request. That is an order.
You know, I don't know how you've been monitoring the JJ Go hashtag, Jesse, but someone hashtag JJ Go went on makepixelart.com and made a great penguin who's waving at us.
Oh, that is awesome.
It was really amazing. I wish I remembered the person's Twitter handle, but if you're listening, please know that I really enjoyed your waving penguin.
That's adorable.
It was really cute.
Thank you very much, pixelart.com maker. Makepixelart.com. You can make some pixel art. There's also an app for your smartphone. Okay, let's go to the Jumbotron, shall we?
Oh, before we get off MakePixelArt, probably a great place to make something for this year's slogan.
Oh, of course. Fucking more powerful than ever. MakePixelArt.com. What an amazing combination. Going ape on that shit. Okay, what do we got right here? We got number one. Fucking personal ad. This is for men. My name is Kate. I'm a 29-year-old woman from Hamilton, New Jersey. I do computer things by day, and I draw fantasy bullshit by night. This is a great personal ad. Interests include animals.
That's not you editorializing. She actually said that.
Well, she didn't say that it's great. I editorialized that it was great.
Okay. No, but the bullshit part, that was not your editorial.
Oh, no. She said she draws fantasy bullshit by night. That led me to editorialize that it was a great ad.
It all makes sense now.
This is a real New York review of books, personal ad level fucking shit right here. Interests include animals, sci-fi, scary ghost movies, crochet, and reading. Also, fellow Max Funster Kay Sikelski's awesome book, The Time Traveler's Pocket Guide. One of my goals in life is to have a small farm, and then it gets cut off, So I'm going to say with donks.
Right.
Miniature donkeys?
Yeah.
Donk is sure. A miniature donkey.
How does someone get involved, get in contact with said person if they would like to fuck them?
You can email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org, and we will forward your email over to Kate. Again, she is 29. She is in Hamilton, New Jersey. I don't know where that is. I mean, it's obviously somewhere in the Garden State. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
No, I was going to say that it was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It is. Oh,
it's certainly not
in
old Jersey.
No.
Yes. Email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll forward it over to Kate, and Kate will take it from there. This Kate sounds tremendous. I mean, she draws fantasy bullshit by night.
Sure.
You know, just send her something. You guys can email each other. See what happens. It's a fucking love connection waiting to happen here.
Live your life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Live your life.
Yeah.
You know? Get your pussy wet.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rock on. How about that one?
That's good, too. Maybe next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
What about?
You've already got more powerful than ever for this year. Don't, you know, just cool it on the slogans. Cool it on the slogans, Chairman Mao.
Whoa.
Sock it to me, fuckface.
Okay, that one was good.
That was good. No, that was good. You should probably run with that.
Okay. I mean, speaking of Kay Sekelsky, let's talk about our next Jumbotron, which is her book, The Time Traveler's Pocket Guide. It contains everything you need to know before you get in your time machine. Vital information, like the time traveler's secret handshake, tips on making out with celebrities before they become famous. Also, she suggests that you be nice to Kate because she is an awesome lady. She sent me a copy of this book. It is very amusing. It has a blurb on it from Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings. So that's pretty good.
I've also been told that there's a Chip Dipson Dip Dobson reference in it.
Oh, so. Bravo. Okay, bravo. Go to timetravelbureau.com/JJGo. TimeTravelBureau.com/JJGo to grab a copy of that. Thank you, Kay. She is also a graphic designer. It's quite a handsome book as well, handsome and charming. And it even includes a pair of emergency mutton chops in case you accidentally time travel to a mutton chop appropriate era and don't have the appropriate facial hair.
Sounds like she thought of everything.
Yeah, I mean, she thought of writing this book. She thought of the various information in the book, and she thought of sending us some money to promote it. So she's pretty much got all the bases covered. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's cheap. It's affordable. $100 for a personal message, $200 for a commercial message. If you want to sponsor an episode of Jordan Jesse Go, just drop us an email, Teresa@MaximumFun.org. And our beautiful, charming, and sensual development director, Teresa Thorne, will help you very much. Hopefully won't do any sensual stuff with you. She tries to keep that focused over here.
You know.
Keep that focused on the big man.
She needs to seal the deal.
I'm more powerful than ever.
She does what it takes to get the job done, right?
No, she does not do what it takes
to...
Jesse, let your wife suck another dude's dick. It's fine. Just let her do it. If it'll get more money.
We'll be back in just a second.
Sounds like maximum fun.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, magical pony.
You know, it has been such a delight to be joined on this program by Eliza Skinner, one of the most talented young people in the city of Hollywood.
Aw, thanks.
Tinseltown, as I call it.
It's been great being here.
I call it Holly Weird.
Yeah, well.
And I'm the only one.
Yeah,
I've never heard that before. That's pretty funny.
That's because I'm the only one who says
it. You should start saying that more often.
I don't want to say it out loud too much because then other people will start saying it. I'm even kicking myself for saying it just now. That was like my private thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
you just said it to yourself while you were jacking off.
Mm-hmm. When looking at those guys who hang outside Grauman's in the Spider-Man outfits. That's who I look at while I jack off.
They are weird, and they are in Hollywood.
I know.
That's hilarious wordplay.
It is. Well, I mean, wordplay is one of Jordan's specialties.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
you really pulled one out.
Yep.
Oh, Eliza, it has been a delight and a joy to have you on the program. Well, I mean, people can certainly across the nation can follow you on Twitter at Eliza Skinner.
That's true.
Eliza spelled with a Z.
Yes.
Skinner spelled with a K, two N's, and an R at the end.
That's all true, yeah.
People can also catch you live and in person regularly here in Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah. I perform every Friday night at the UCB Theater in a group called Diamond Lion, and every Saturday, I host a show with the lovely and talented D.C. Pearson at the Little Modern Theater called Magic Bag.
He's a beautiful little man, that D.C. Pearson.
He's wonderful.
He's got that long, luxurious hair.
Yeah.
He really looks nice with that sort of homeless man aesthetic that he's...
Works for him.
It's
in some commercials as like weird homeless guy now, isn't he? Doesn't he...
Well, not weird homeless guy. Weird guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the thing is it's so well groomed.
Yeah,
it's a good look. Sure. It's not creepy.
Have you guys seen Michael Cera recently?
Yes.
Michael Cera has a sort of long, like a nearly shoulder length, sort of Prince Valiant haircut. He has good sort of bangs. He has bangs going on. He has a straight bangs. When I saw him, he had straight bangs.
I think you saw him with a blowout or something. When I saw him, he had kind of long, but puffy kind of.
Well, that's the
hair thing.
I mean, that's the issue about it. He has curly hair, so it's voluminous.
Oh, okay, but yeah. Still with the bangs, yeah.
But with the straight bangs, and he also has a sort of stringy mustache.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I mean, on the one hand, it looks terrifying. I'll just say that it does look slightly terrifying. On the other hand, and I mean this absolutely sincerely, I think he looks fucking tremendous. I really think that he pulls it off so well. And I think the fact that it helps that he's a movie star and that he's a great movie star and he's tremendous. I mean, God bless Michael Cera. He's just wonderful. You know, he's great in the movies that he's in, and he's, you know, super talented and hilarious. That helps. But I think that, like, he looks like a madman, but he looks like the best.
A benign madman.
Like a wonderful madman. Like the best kind of madman.
Like a Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like he looks like the most.
Not a Buffalo Bill.
Like the most tremendous kind of madman you would, like someone you would want to make friends with right now, because he's going to take you on an amazing adventure.
Yeah, a kook with some kind of old-fashioned candy in his pocket.
Yeah, someone...
some sucking candies.
Yeah, like maybe some candies with some fizzy stuff in the middle.
Yeah. I've never had this kind of candy.
Ooh. Yeah, and maybe some cocaine.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to take you on a
That's
fucking adventure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent me some link to a picture of him. I had seen him in person. This was my impression of it. I was like, fucking Michael Cera looks insane, but tremendous. Just wonderful. Like, I really hope that he makes this his public aesthetic, because I don't know if it's for a role or if it's just his new look or if it's just a kind of thing where he's like in between things and he's like, I should look crazy while I can.
It definitely grows him up some.
Yeah, and they sent me a link and it was on one of these, you know, it was on Gawker or something like that and had some sort of slightly snide comment. And I was like, fuck you. Michael Cera is awesome. This is like the greatest thing ever. Like, he's so great. And he's such a sort of eccentric charmer anyway. It sort of amps that up and makes him seem like he could do magic spells or something.
Yeah, even more eccentric.
Anyway, that's just my thoughts on Michael Cera's new aesthetic. If I had more than two thumbs, that's how many thumbs I would give it up.
I think you have a crush.
You know who has more than two thumbs?
Who?
Apes. They have them on their feet.
That's true.
That's a really good point. That's a really good
maybe
point.
While we're
so there's
all,
even more extra positivity.
While we're all going ape, we can give things four thumbs up.
Yeah, well, I give four thumbs up for Michael Cera taking the advice of our friend John Hodgman in his new book and cultivating a deranged millionaire aesthetic, because he is doing a tremendous job of it. I give four thumbs up to Eliza Skinner for being a delightful guest on our program. I give four thumbs up to you, the listener, for becoming more powerful than ever in 2012 and sharing your art projects with us during the month of February on our Facebook page and on our forum at forum.maximumfun.org. I'm fucking super stoked about this, Jordan.
Yeah, clearly.
Super
I
fucking
can see
excited.
I can feel it. If you you're email, raising the temperature in the room.
If
you're so excited.
If you don't know how to post shit on the internet, I mean, number one, get your fucking act together.
Yeah, come on, guys.
But you can email it to us at jjgo@maximumfun.org and we'll post it for you. But get your fucking act together and post that shit. Post it on the forum and on the Facebook page. Just fucking do it.
Yeah, man. Go ape.
More powerful than ever. Four thumbs up. Let's go.
Yep. Do it. That old signature Morris wordplay. Capping off the episode with one of my signature balm moves.
I don't. Okay.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jessica.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Bullseye is all about discovering the good stuff in popular culture that will do nothing less than change your life.
You know, I'd never heard anything like it before. It'd be like seeing a new color, which I guess is music's like biggest asset, is that you can hear new sounds constantly.
It's the good stuff and just the good stuff in popular culture every week on Bullseye from PRI.